Hello and welcome to episode 17 of XR Connections. I'm your host, Liam O'Malley. XR Connections is a podcast about virtual reality, VR, augmented reality, AR, mixed reality, MR, and the fabled XR, extended reality. Today we have Renee Pinnell from Kaleidoscope. Renee, together with his wife at Kaleidoscope, are doing incredible things with art and XR. You'll hear all about it. What they're doing is making a community that's helping artists to migrate into this new medium of VR, AR, MR. He's doing that through events, one of which he will speak about, and through a community which provides grants that allows artists and creators to be able to see their projects come to life. This is a very timely interview, as one of the projects that Renee discusses happens on June 24th. And if you have the time and you have the right equipment, which he goes into, I highly recommend that you try and see it. And this brings me to the one show note before the show. It's actually, I find it a bit humorous. The event is happening at Cannes, June 24th. Of course, it's virtually happening all around the world because there is no event at Cannes. Now, the reason I find this humorous is 2 weeks ago I was speaking to another guest, and let's say he speaks the Queen's English. And I mentioned Cannes one or two times, and he did not know what I was talking about. And then he finally said, "Oh, Cannes." So I say to myself, well, I must have been pronouncing this incorrectly all the time. And I see that Renee has an event at Cannes, which I now think is Cannes. So I go to the world's foremost authority on pronunciation, YouTube. And YouTube has C-A-N-N-E-S pronounced as Cannes. And Renee pronounces it Cannes. So who knows? He didn't correct me when I said can, and for the matter, the Queen's English speaker didn't correct me when I said con. So who knows? You know, I'm a New Englander of Irish descent, and I say aunt, and my mother still says bathroom. Con, can, the sunny south of France, well known for its film festival. There's going to be a VR XR component there this year, and Renee's going to talk all about it. Coming up next, Renee Pinnell from Kaleidoscope.
Hello and welcome. We are welcoming today Renee Pinnell of Kaleidoscope VR. Renee is doing incredible things with artists in XR. And one of the things that he is doing right at this very moment involves Cannes. Renee, welcome. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with the XR program at Cannes.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show, and excited to talk to you about Cannes XR and all the other crazy, fun, bizarre, magical things we're doing at Kaleidoscope.
There really are a lot of crazy things. I've been looking at the site. It's amazing.
But to start off with, we partnered with Cannes last year when a friend of mine, Ellie, who runs Cannes XR, took over the program. And he had a big vision for transforming Cannes into being the main marketplace hub for the XR industry. And last year was a great first step, and we both agreed that there was so much opportunity to build it out. And he had done a remarkable job bringing on a bunch of partners to quite literally take XR out of the basement, because that's where they housed us at the Marché mm-hmm. last year, was in deep down in the basement. And so he had actually secured a big sponsorship deal to move the whole venue into this beautiful old casino that had an oceanfront view. It was really remarkable. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. And like everybody else, he had to figure out what that meant for him and the community of artists that he was supporting. And that was right about the same time that Kaleidoscope had been doubling down on our virtual events. We had decided about a year and a half ago to migrate the vast majority of our events online. But we were doing that for efficiency reasons and accessibility reasons. You know, attending an event in the real world is a privilege. It costs a lot of money that many folks can't afford. So we thought that moving online would make artists and industry able to attend more events, as well as curb the environmental impact of attending real world events. I hadn't realized until, just a couple of years ago, how much travel accounted for climate change and emissions in general. Mm-hmm. So all those reasons, we had decided to stop doing most real world events in favor of virtual events. And so when the pandemic hit, we were fairly well positioned to help people like Ellie move their event online and into virtual reality. But there was one other piece of the puzzle that was missing. So doing events online is fine. It's, works for talks and meetings, I think pretty darn well. But it misses a lot, especially if you're trying to actually exhibit virtual reality work. Obviously, the best way to do that is in VR. But we had yet to find a venue in virtual reality that met our benchmark for quality. Mm-hmm. We needed a space that was aesthetically beautiful, that was created by artists for artists. And as much as I love the folks behind things like AltSpace and VRChat, to be totally frank, they're not pretty on the eyes. And those aren't spaces that sort of inspire the way that a museum does. And that's when we discovered the Museum of Other Realities.
Yes.
It's this great startup in Vancouver, Canada, run by five or six very talented individuals who all come from architecture, gaming, art, design. And it is built from the ground up to exhibit VR work in a manner that is respectful to the artists and allows audiences to natively enjoy the work itself. So we partnered with the Museum of Other Realities as well as ConXR, and then followed by Tribeca and Veer VR and Positron, which were all the sort of players that we needed to pull this off. And this event that's happening next week is going to be, I think, a watershed moment in our industry. I think it's going to be one of the first major events that allows people to come together and network and socialize in a way that is very analogous to the real world, as well as, most importantly, the ability to see the work in VR natively in a manner that in many regards is actually better than seeing it in the real world, because you're on your own equipment. You're not having to share headsets, which was kind of gross even before the pandemic. And it's a much more seamless experience. You can bounce from one project back to the museum, back into another project without ever having to take your headset off. So we're really thrilled that both Khan and Tribeca had the bravery to jump into this because it's still very much bleeding edge technology. It's still rough around the edges. I'm sure that some stuff will break, but all the test run-throughs we've done, as well as the event we just held there last week, VRAM, which was the first big event that we held at the museum, so much promise. And all the artists that we talked to who have seen their work so far as we're installing it in the museum are just thrilled. So I think audiences will similarly be thrilled.
It sounds like a fantastic approach, perfect for the times, perfect for the art or the projects that are going to be shown. couple of things, Renee. How many projects are going to be involved with this? And two, how does one access this? Do you need to register? Where does an audience member, a potential audience member, go? And what kind of preparation do they have to do beforehand? I've attended a few events in VR that took more preparation than I was anticipating.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, because this is, again, bleeding edge tech. And so there are still many rough edges. And one of them is just around how big the file is. So if you're planning to attend in VR, first you need a tethered headset. So you need a Rift or a Vive or an Index or really any tethered headset that's to a VR-ready PC. Unfortunately, the Museum of Other Realities is building a Quest app, but it's not going to be ready until at least July. And even then, it would be a very different experience than seeing it on a tethered headset, because most of the projects that are exhibited at festivals simply aren't compatible with a Quest. Mm-hmm. So you do need a tethered headset. And then the only other thing you need is, call it 100 gigabytes to be safe. I think it will probably be less than that. It'll probably be around 70, 75. But it's a very large build that you have to download. And the reason is that all the experiences are embedded into the museum. So when you download the Museum of Other Realities, you're downloading the entire 55 plus projects that have been curated by Con, Kaleidoscope, and Tribeca, as well as Veer. Mm-hmm. So just prepare for that. Depending on what your internet speed is, if it's fast, probably take an hour. If it's slow, it could take 4 or 5 hours. So just make sure you do that the day before the festival starts. Another thing to be aware of is the Museum of Other Realities is normally a paid app, but through the festival, they are removing that and it will be free to download. I believe free on all stores, but definitely I can confirm free on Steam. So that free download period will start one day before the marché begins on the 24th. So I recommend everyone to download the museum build on the 23rd. So you have it installed and ready to go, and you can test everything out the day before the festival officially opens.
Very good. Now, Renee, another thing that I saw this week and why I decided I've got to call Renee and get him on here, and this is timely, was one of your grants for XR projects. And I looked on the Kaleidoscope Fund page. There are a number of grants out there. Tell us and the audience a little bit about whole Kaleidoscope community of creators and these grants that are available and how projects are getting funded and who judges them. And just tell us all about what you're offering there with Kaleidoscope.
Yeah, so most of what Kaleidoscope does is focused on funding work. So we're a community of artists and industry, but the reason that community exists is to help artists secure the funding, distribution, festival curation, and other support that is required to actually make work. And we do that through two avenues. One is through events. So the reason we bother with spending all the energy to pull off something like Con is because events are a very useful tool for helping artists raise money. It's where they can meet with industry players who are in a position to fund their work, as well as distribute their work, as well as curate their work, etc. So one whole side of our business is events. And then the other side is grants. This was a product we'd been planning to build for a while, but when the pandemic hit, we dropped almost everything to focus on launching this new product called Kaleidoscope Grants. And it works in a unique way. What we do is we have membership fees. So to be a part of Kaleidoscope doesn't cost you anything, but there's certain features and benefits that you have to be a paying member to access. But what we do with those membership fees is we put them towards community-funded grants. Right now, we have 6 grants that are live on Kaleidoscope that vary in terms of the types of projects they accept, as well as the type of creators they're intended for. And they're monthly recurring grants. So artists can submit to the same grant or multiple grants each month. And at the end of the month, the project submissions with the most upvotes by the community is automatically awarded that grant. And this has some benefits. One is these grants naturally grow over time in terms of the dollar amount that's awarded. In order to engage with the grant, you have to become a supporting member and back that grant. So as more people submit work, as more people are wanting to review work and help with the curation process, as more medium and large size companies want to back grants that are aligned with their organizations, the dollar amount increases. And the other thing that's nice about these grants is that the frequency of awards is quite short. I mean, a month, every month, these grants award cash prizes, as well as a lot of artist benefits that are non-monetary, but still have a lot of value, like mentorship, help with distribution, marketing, etc. If there's any artists that are listening, really hope you head over to Kaleidoscope and consider submitting some work.
Yes, it's a great community. Really take up that advice and join the Kaleidoscope community. Renee, how'd you get started in all this? What got you into VR or XR in general?
I was a filmmaker for about 10 years and then decided that I hated the film industry, the business side of it. So I left to start a degree in design, which I dropped out of when I founded my first startup back in 2008 or 2009. And so basically since, you know, about 10 years, I've been doing startups. I saw the cultural momentum really shift from cinema, film, art in general, towards startups. Technology is the most impactful force in our culture right now. So I was excited to be a part of that and to try to bend it in a brighter direction, because technology is very powerful. It's reshaping every part of our world. So I think you have to engage with it if you want to have an outcome that isn't dystopic. Mm-hmm. But I've always approached it from, you know, the lens of design and art. And when startup I had was acquired in 2012, I took a year off to sort of reset my compass. And that was right around the time that the Oculus Rift was first coming on the scene. I had a buddy who got one of the first developer kits, and I smoked a joint and did Titans of Space, which I think is still probably the first project of real substance on back in those DK2 days, or DK1 days, really. Anyways, I was blown away. I thought it was really super early. The device itself, you know, was terrible in so many regards. But, you know, if you squinted your eyes and looked past all of the obvious flaws of that first device, you could see something that was really remarkable and something that I believed artists would want to adopt and use to as a medium of expression. Mm-hmm. And so my wife and I decided to start a company that would focus just on helping artists migrate into this new medium. Now, we didn't really have much of a focus beyond that initially. We partnered with Wired Magazine and did a VR film festival back in 2015 and 2016 that toured through North America, Europe, and Asia. And in that process, we met hundreds of really talented artists. And the thing that was their biggest issue was funding, money. Mm-hmm. How on earth are they going to fund their project? So we decided, well, that ought to be the thing that we focus on if that's the biggest, most hair on fire problem. So it was really that sort of summer of 2016 that we said, okay, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing we're going to tackle. And that's the thing we're still tackling. And it's going to be many different strategies that we try, but the high level mission of Kaleidoscope will never change, which is how do we make artists and the fundraising process, how do we make the fundraising process as easy and fast and efficient as possible? So artists can spend as little time on it as possible and focus most of their energy on producing work. Because artists shouldn't have to do sales. They shouldn't have to spend 90% or more of their energy getting the money to make the thing. They should spend the majority of their time making art, making their work. And I think there are new models like our community-funded grant model that we can invent and explore and build that will realize and fulfill that promise.
I love it. Renee, to conclude, it's going to be hard for you to answer this, but what are one or two of the best, let's say, VR films or VR art projects that you've seen you could recommend that people check out? And two, other than Kaleidoscope, which is a great community for XR creatives, how do you connect with other people in this field? And is there anything you could recommend in terms of events, conferences, publications, social media, etc.?
Well, my go-to, I mean, there's so many projects that I love, but the one that is my go-to for my favorite experience is Battle Scar. It's a beautiful animated 6 Degrees of Freedom project about two runaway girls in the 1970s starting a punk rock band. And it moves with the energy of cinema, and it's fast-paced in a way that very few other cinematic VR projects are. I think when the history books are written, this will be a very important milestone. So if you're at all interested in storytelling and VR work that comes from the tradition of cinema, I don't think there's anything better than Battle Scar out there. I think it's the best.
All right.
I'll leave it with that in terms of like the must-see project. And then in terms of other publications or recommendations for ways to plug in, I used to say, you know, meetups, find local meetups in whatever city you are, but that's not a thing anymore.
Right.
So almost all the major events are figuring out ways to do virtual editions. So tune in, plug into that. Honestly, I spend every waking hour that I'm not taking care of my son or spending a little bit of quality time with my wife building and working on Kaleidoscope. So I don't venture out beyond that very often.
Gotcha. How old's the boy?
Almost two. It'll be two next week.
Oh, that's great. What's the name?
Remy Justice Pinnell.
Remy Justice Pinnell. Well, that's fantastic. Well, when he gets a little bit older, then you can start playing with the Lego Hidden Side AR kits, which are fantastic. Ooh. My son and I do those all the time. But he ought to be getting on Lego soon anyway.
Yeah, he's on the big Duplo blocks right now. But
okay. Well, you'll have to see if Duplo's come up with an augmented reality set yet.
I will. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Renee,
real pleasure.
My pleasure. Good luck in virtual France, and we'll be checking out all of this stuff, the Museum of Other Realities and Battle Scar, and this festival that's coming up. And we'll be looking forward to more events.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Renee. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much to Renee. Isn't that cool what he is doing? I will have a link to Kaleidoscope in the show notes. If you are making art, if you are making film in XR, you owe it to yourself to check out the Kaleidoscope community and the opportunities for grants there. Thank you for listening to XR Connections. This has been episode number 17. I have a number of interviews planned, one already done and two next week, so they're going to keep coming. Please do reach out. LinkedIn is probably the best. You can also find me at my website, which is marsandmercury.com. That's Mars and Mercury, like the deities. We recorded the phone call, so to speak. The conversation, rather, was recorded on Zoom, and it worked quite well. We record this with Logic Pro 10 and use the Focusrite interface, a Scarlett microphone. And the music is by Dr. Mars. Please do reach out. I'd love to hear from you if you have ideas for episodes. Get in touch. Thank you.